The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. He is the one whom I said, 'A man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' I do not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel." John testified further, saying, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain on him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. God is good.
All the time.
So good evening. Here we are, second Sunday, ordinary time. We start wearing the green vestments. Last week, we celebrated the baptism of the Lord. It was actually the first Sunday of ordinary time, but it was white vestments. But now we're in ordinary time. And ordinary time is a very special time because it's an opportunity for us to walk the path of Jesus, the path that led him from his first miracle to the cross. And as we walk that path with him through the Gospels in ordinary time, we get to know him. We get to know Jesus. And that's our goal, is to get to know who Jesus is. Notice that we're in cycle A, Matthew, right? But yet we had a gospel from John. And we know that John is special. But further insight brings us to the realization, the scholars say that John the Evangelist and John the Apostle were the same person. Further, they believe that John and John the Baptist knew each other, were friends. They actually grew up together, along with James and Andrew, as we know from the scriptures. And they were all fishermen, and they were all friends with Jesus. And John the Baptist was Jesus' cousin, and Jesus was the local carpenter who knew them well. But John's gospel doesn't give the baptism story like the other gospels did. Instead, he gives a narrative as to the witness, what he saw, what was seen that day. So, what can we learn about Jesus from this reading? Well, first, John refers to Jesus as the Lamb of God. As we know, lambs are gentle, docile creatures. The Jews were expecting a strong, domineering leader to free them from Roman rule. This is what they thought a savior would look like. But that was their first mistake. Instead, they got Jesus, a docile, loving guy who proclaims peace and love, not war and vengeance. Also, this Lamb of God business foretells of the suffering and death that Jesus would endure for our sins in the future. But even more so, he replaces the innocence of the Lamb with the malice of the world around him. By his actions, he commands us, therefore, to put innocence in the place of malice, to put love in the place of force, to put humility in the place of pride, to put service in the place of prestige. By being disciples of the Lamb, it is expected that we reflect these virtues, for those around us can see them in us and as a reflection of God's grace in us. So John continues with the words, "And he takes away the sins of the world." Wow, that's a big claim. To take away the sins of the world? What does that mean? How could he do that? The word in the scriptures that we translate as "take away" really means relieve or take upon oneself. And isn't this what Jesus did? He took upon himself our sins. Well, again, this is an indication that Jesus will die for our sins. And peace and kindness will prevail. More insight into the nature of Jesus. Jesus, who we know, love, and serve, and wish to know better. But let's look for a moment at the first reading, the reading from Isaiah. This is the second in the suffering servant prophecies found in Isaiah. These were prophecies that were uttered during the Babylonian captivity and the exile. And they were done to encourage the Jewish people to persevere in their trust of God and the trust of Yahweh to liberate them. The first of many promises of God sending them a Messiah, a Savior, to free them from Babylonian exile. And here is the very same Messiah promised to them right before their eyes, many years later. Only this time it's the Romans that they wish to free themselves from instead of the Babylonians. Getting back to the gospel, next claim that John makes is that this man Jesus came after me. Well, that's a little perplexing for us, isn't it? Because how can that be? We know that when at the Annunciation, Mary went to Elizabeth to tell her about her pregnancy, and Elizabeth proclaimed that she was 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. That makes John the Baptist 6 months older than Jesus. But yet, John says he came before me. What does that mean? Well, that's a very close indication right away of that dual nature that Jesus holds. It's the nature of God and the nature of man. And that God always was and always will be and will always remain the same. And this is what John is saying to these people, that Jesus is in fact eternal. He came before me. It is in this reading that John sees the three persons of the Blessed Trinity all wrapped up right there. He says that the Spirit blessed him in the form of a dove sent by the Father in heaven. There it is. Our Blessed Trinity in the very first chapter of John. Something to think about. Foundational Christian doctrine. Finally, John has the audacity to conclude that this guy is truly the Son of God. What evidence do you have, John? Well, we know that Jesus and John were cousins, and they grew up together and almost assuredly studied and prayed together in the synagogue, just like all good Jews do. So for John to proclaim, "I don't know him," was the nature of man. We acknowledge these two natures each time we mix the water and the wine at our Mass. When I pour the water into the wine, I say the prayer that we acknowledge the divinity and humanity of Jesus. That water and that wine are those symbols of the divinity and humanity of Jesus. And we reinforce that every Mass and every time. So when we start the path knowing Jesus as God, we begin a difficult and sometimes challenging road of faith and understanding. Our faith is often tested by society, by logic, by our own intelligence. But in reality, it is our faith that keeps us in line. It is our faith that has it all. And learning and understanding the nature of God and the nature of Jesus, we embrace the lessons Jesus taught us when he walked on earth. We will walk this journey with Jesus to the cross and beyond, to the resurrection and to the ascension into heaven. And we will bring the person of Jesus closer into our understanding of Jesus as friend, companion, and advisor in our lives. And we achieve this through what? Through study and through prayer. And so, is that all it really takes? Study and prayer? Well, I think that's true. I think, how is your faith path going? Do you need more time in study? Do you need more time in prayer? Well, only you can decide. Our faith journey is not easily maintained because of parallels in our lives, and lives are never very easy. But all the difficulties that we always have in our lives, the grace of God and our relationship with Jesus is an integral part of our lives and brings us to a place where we could be in communion with our Lord and Savior, to be comforted and to be safe. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.